At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo.
Yo.
How are you?
I'm really good. Sorry about the white shirt.
Oh, I was just, lucky break. We're both wearing them.
Yeah. Well, you got here first, so I feel like I'm the one who should apologize. And we don't
plan it.
We don't wear just white shirts that often.
That was a surprise when I saw you.
And then we do it on matching days. I mean, last week it was like we had the color day.
Yeah.
And black is not normal.
Right. That would happen.
But it's like, okay, I'm going to do something different today. I'll wear white. And then it's like, yeah, so am I. Okay. But hey, you know what? Like we were talking about yesterday, maybe that's why.
That's why
we're in sync. Oh, man.
Why we get to do what we do.
Get to do what we do. I got a little...
I was going to say play with our... but...
That's what you said yesterday.
I like to start the show with that.
But you have to be... I thought you said you need to be like a woman who's achieved some sort of celebrity, and then you do it because you'll make more money doing that than anything else.
Well, if I had one, I'd make a lot of money with it.
I would definitely use it to make money, for sure.
Well,
in all kinds of ways.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, directly through direct exchanges.
But if all of a sudden we came on the air and we said, little secret, you guys never knew, we have them, and then we started an OnlyFans. Oh.
Almost made me spit up my chocolate milk. Little secret, we have them. Why? You know, I was thinking more like if we were good-looking females.
No, and I'm saying the way we are now.
But you're saying
we have them and we'll show them to you.
I mean, I guess it's sort of like come see the bearded lady.
Right, exactly.
You know,
you guys have thought we were just misogynistic dudes all this time, but
right.
Nope.
Right. It's been a test.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
An awesome part of the simulation. Yeah, you guys thought we were misogynistic. No, we're both women, and we don't like to fly when the pilots are female, okay? And we don't actually follow Caitlin Clark that closely. Okay? So this has all been a test.
And we don't think women know karate.
No, no, we don't.
Whenever they put it in a movie, it makes me angry.
Yeah. Look, I get it. We need some more we needed some more female representation as, you know, the hero. But
sure.
Well, does it not make always have to be a female now?
And always? Are you always going to fool me with the karate thing?
You're right. You're always the strongest person in the universe. You're 5'2".
Right.
Right. I mean, even when it was just guys, they at least put guys in there that could kick my ass.
Right.
It wasn't just, you know, some skinny dork right. like me, like, ah, I can
And now it's like, we know that you couldn't kick anybody's
exactly.
ass in that
so,
room, but they're like, she knows karate.
It's always
like,
something.
Well, come on.
Exactly.
She trained with a master at a dojo in some deep, dark part of China.
Yeah.
And they beat her as a child. I'm like, come on now.
Yeah. The CIA one, what was that called? Hannah, where the little girl's been training
right,
her
sure.
whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a child, but she knows all this stuff.
Shang-Chi or whatever I watched last night. You know, same thing.
The new Star Wars. I turned it on last night. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this new Star Wars series, there's 3 episodes out. I'm going to watch it. And I turned it on, and it's just, you know, it's like, here comes the chick. She's fighting another chick. Mm. I'm like, this is awesome. It's just been so long, and now I love that it's all females all the time. It's so great. It's awesome, isn't it?
No,
I'm like,
I
yes! I love it. Man. And they're diverse crowds,
oh,
you know?
Man.
I like seeing that. So,
yeah, that's exciting.
It's nice just seeing the guys, like, we had enough of you.
Yeah.
You got more than enough attention there.
Right.
Sit Let's down. Take a step back and have this attractive 5'1" chick kick everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she have guns? No, no, no.
I mean,
no.
I'm willing to suspend reality for a movie, but come on. You're pushing it.
Right. I mean, look, Jack Reacher's supposed to be tall and strong for a reason. Like that's part, he wrote that in the book, you know,
right.
Tall and strong. So I had a problem when it was Tom Cruise because I'm like, he's not very tall.
What? New episode of The Boys came out yesterday.
I saw it advertised everywhere
God
last night.
God damn it.
I didn't know that it was new. I just kept seeing it. I'm like, man, they're really big
on
The Boys.
I got to watch it.
I thought that there was already a new season.
No, what? The new season starts now.
Is it season 3?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's very exciting for Lazo. Wait, it's Amazon, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't dump them all at once?
No, not The Boys.
Mm, okay.
Not
like,
The Boys.
No, this is our
this
money
is
maker.
Our, yeah, that's putting, a big deal for them.
Putting asses in the seats. Yeah,
yeah.
They've had a couple. They spend
all
seems
of
like a
their
lot of
stuff
money.
On that. But they got it. The Boys, that Generation V.
Well, Fallout, I heard,
and
was.
Invincible. Fallout
oh, yeah,
was big.
I heard
Invincible's the cartoon, which is great.
Was Lord of the Rings big for them?
I don't know. Maybe initially. I know it was
season
very expensive.
Four, they
spent like $1 billion on it.
But I did see just in the last couple of days, Fallout was still the number
the
two show streaming. Like
kid.
The number two most watched show streaming.
You
which,
can't watch
which
it
ones?
With your kid. You can't watch The Boys with your kid.
Oh, it's too
I
much?
I don't care if my boys watch it.
But you don't
watch but it? But I don't want to watch it with them.
Oh, is there like a lot of sex?
Oh, yeah. And, but it's not only just sex. It's
ridiculous.
Just over the top. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know how, like, you know.
Gratuitous.
Yeah, and bizarre.
It's
like
bizarre
and
to
Gen
be funny.
Z, like one of the girls' superpowers is that every time she pukes, she gets smaller. So she can get small like Ant-Man, but she has to have an eating disorder to get there. But then like she meets guys on dating apps and like they'll start making out and then they're like, come on, do the thing. So they'll make her go until she gets super small, and then they'll show her like because she's so small, and they're like, so that's...
I don't know, Snow Cone. I don't know
right.
about it. I don't know where you go with that, how long you held down the button. Hopefully a
you can say
decent
all
amount.
That.
No, I don't think so.
I said wiener.
Yeah, so they...
There's another guy who gets really small and goes, and then explodes it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a fish man, like Aquaman. He gets kicked out from them, and he has to go work at, like, Oceans of Fun.
Okay.
And then he, like, picks up a girl, and she's like, lift up your chest. I want to see your gills, you freak, little freak boy.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
That's the kind of stuff. It's just like, yeah, I don't need to watch it with you.
Right. I mean,
kids.
It's not even like an uncomfortable sex scene. It's like, this is disturbing.
Disturbing.
It's disturbing. It's completely odd.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't be. Well, I don't know. People say porn causes problems with men when they get older. I'm like, I don't know what watching this will do to you.
Yeah, right. It certainly makes it harder for a joke to be shocking.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If someone says something like, that's so stupid.
Or if somebody asks you to do something sexually, you're like,
right.
I mean, I don't know. What are you going to do? Show me your gills? Like, I mean, it's over the top, but it is
Well, yeah.
Wonderful.
I mean, there was a time when people didn't like it if you told someone to go throw up to lose
weight.
Oh, yeah,
sex with an octopus and asked his wife.
Women like the I know. What's it called?
The octopus
creature
is like,
porn?
He has an aquarium in his room, and the octopus is like, mm-hmm. So he finally asked his wife to have a threesome with the octopus because the octopus loves him.
I see a lot of when you know.
But not only that, then the bad guy, the Trump guy, he's a real Trumper. He gets that guy in trouble and makes him eat the octopus. Eat it live, and he's like, "What's he doing?" He's like, "He's praying for his life."
What if that's a thing? I mean, because the monster stuff, creature porn is huge. It seems to be mostly huge with women, and they sell a lot of creature sex toys on Amazon and stuff. You can just type in, and you're bound to find without typing anything else. You'll start to come across these creature ones. What if that's like a fetish, Lazo? And they're into these creatures, and they're into maybe even eating them. That would be like if they made a show. And they were, and one of these characters, you know, her thing had, her superpower had to do with nylons. And she had to keep changing her nylons.
We had
right?
that Frankenstein one on here forever, remember?
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Thing.
Those things, I see them a lot. So there could be women out there, maybe men too, who are watching that octopus scene like, this is pornography. Right?
It is pornography. It says whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
I mean,
okay.
It's closest pornography you can get that Amazon's going to make.
Okay.
It's so bizarre that it's. You know how they say you know what pornography is when you see it?
Yeah.
When people would say, like, oh, well, they don't really necessarily, well, I mean, they do, but, you know, it's not.
Penetration.
Right, it's not.
It's simulated.
But you're like, oh, it's.
Simulated, it's but, but
it's
simulated.
It's pornography.
Yeah. I just had a thought, maybe it's an idea, I'm not sure. Why doesn't Amazon stream porn?
I like this from the Twitch. It says, women's impossible body standards they have for, sorry, I don't have 8 tentacles.
But seriously, why doesn't Amazon stream porn? Put it behind a password. You know when you buy a movie on Amazon, you put in that password? Yeah. So create a password and then say it unlocks the porn thing. These porn companies are dying for revenue. And they're saying, please, sign up for one of our websites, even if it's only $10 a month.
I am with you. I'm just guessing Amazon makes so much money that they're like, why?
But they sell all the sex toys and all the slutty whatever, you know, stripper things.
But I could hear
they sell
Fox
all of it.
News saying, now porno on Amazon.
Sure.
And they're like, no, we don't need that.
But it's behind a wall, right? It's
right, but I'm just saying I don't think they want. They make so much. It's not like we can make more.
Yeah.
There's all the money in the world and we have it.
Yeah.
So why risk? Why roll the dice on something that would be somewhat controversial?
And they did take some heat in the past or have taken some heat for all the sex toys. I've seen news clips of people talking about how, you know, they sell all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So I just feel like, you know, maybe they've already said, we've got everything. Who could stream it then? Well, Paramount's in trouble.
Yeah.
They're like, what do? We should have sold Showtime. We're so screwed. Why don't we call that lady that owns it? I don't know if she owns it anymore. And say, hey.
You know her?
Get some porn. No, I just hear her on the news. Mm. Why don't you get some...
call her. Say, hey,
get
some
porn behind a paywall. You could be the only one. The one that you need
porno
it.
For Paramount.
Yeah, Disney can't do it. Hulu, ESPN, Disney Plus, they can't do it. Mm-mm. But Paramount could be like, boom. And just team up with a big partner like Evil Angel or Brazzers or one of those. And then, boom, you get all of it right there. What do you say?
Like,
all right, I'll call. I'll make a few calls. Should have it done by, give me till dinner time.
The Church of Laszlo.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How's life? What's going on at the house?
I'm doing really good.
Anything fun?
No, not really. But
what's good news? No plays for the oldest because it's summertime,
yeah,
right?
It's summertime.
He doesn't have to go rehearse a play in the summertime.
No.
They don't do that.
No.
Your youngest, does he have to do
practice for
football?
He does practice and football and baseball.
He's practicing
baseball camp.
Football already.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had weights this morning.
So he's doing like three things at a time, right?
Yeah.
The football and then two baseball things.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's playing for the team, which requires practice, I assume.
Yeah, they practice every Wednesday, and then he does weights every Monday. Every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then he has baseball practice and baseball games.
Right. Yes. And what about the camp? Is that...
He did that after weights.
Okay. So, and is that over now?
It's over. He did it just this week.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think it's cool that when you ask him about this stuff, he's like, I want to do it.
You don't have to.
Your whole thing was always just participate in something.
Yeah, and something. I don't care.
And
like my oldest the other day was like, man, I don't know if I love baseball as much as I used to. And I'm like, dude, that happens, man.
Yeah.
Don't play. I don't care.
Yeah.
Play. He's like, well, I got to play. I'm like, well, you know.
Oh, it's like that sunk cost feeling.
I guess.
I've worked so hard.
I'm like, but, you know, don't think you have to because of me.
Yeah, well, that's good that
you
he
know?
Has that because plenty of those kids out there.
Exactly. Who have put so much work in. I'm like, if you're done, you're done, man.
Yeah. I feel so bad for those kids that when they strike out, you know, you tell me these stories about getting strikes out and comes into the dugout like, my dad's going to kill me. It's like, your dad's going to kill you for striking out.
Yeah.
I guess I know
what
happens.
You don't have to play, man. You do whatever you want.
I've seen movies. I'm aware that parents, I've seen clips of mad parents at games. So I know that it happens, but you just hope that it's so rare. But I have a feeling it's not
so
rare.
Well, what am I going to do if I don't love baseball as much as I used to? You know, I don't love theater, but I'm good at those two things. What I'm like, dude, welcome to 16, man.
Yeah,
you're starting
you got some
to figure
time.
Out. You're starting to go through all these things of like, who am I and what am I? And man, that happens to every single human being. Whatever you thought, maybe you loved, maybe you don't. But you'll find it.
Yep.
Just don't stress about it. Don't lay up late at night thinking about
who am I
or what am
not
I or what am I going to do. I'm like, You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, no.
Right? You can figure it out.
Yep. And while I wouldn't say that
just
you should
struggle through, it's going to be hard, but you're going to have to struggle through and get good grades.
That's important.
Because I've been at your place when I started feeling like you did, where I'm like, do I really want to play football anymore? When I started thinking like that, which I think it happens to everybody, when you start thinking like that, the one thing that you can do that I won't let you do is you're like, well, I don't really like anything, so I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
That you can't do. You're going to have to get good grades. You don't have to get great grades. You don't have to get good grades. Other than that,
yes,
you know, participate. Do something. I don't care what it is.
Have some options that we don't.
Right.
Because
we didn't have any options.
We didn't do that.
Me dropping out of high school led to
no options.
Now you got to hustle,
no
man.
No trade
Figure
school.
It out.
Yep.
Figure it out.
I don't think that it's good advice to say, just wait for the opportunity and take it. Wait for it to come to you. That's not good advice. But I do think when you see something or when you're trying to choose between a couple of them, you take the one that feels maybe a little bit more exciting, even if it's not exciting, a little bit more exciting. And if it feels like, ooh, but it might be a little bit harder or it might be a little bit scarier, or a little more difficult to be let down in this, you know, hurt me a little bit more. But usually that's the one you go with.
Yeah, exactly.
Take that one. Go with the one that makes a little more exciting. Just continue to do that.
Right.
I mean, I didn't have any options because I didn't go to school either. I'm not very smart. So I was just working jobs, but even when you're working two restaurant jobs and someone goes, hey, I'm quitting my job at the car dealership, here's my hours, you're like, dude, sweet, I'll do that because I have a couple options and I might be able to get this job at the car dealership. Yeah. Felt great. You take that one that you think you may have less chance even, but it sounds better, just go for it.
Yeah.
Go for that one. And it's kind of like waiting for something to fall in your lap, but not really, you know?
It's so hard. I mean, I don't know what I want to do.
But I didn't think like he did as a kid. I didn't worry about what I was going to be. I didn't think I need to make a decision because I always just felt like I was in the now. And right now, I just work at this car dealership.
Right.
I'll figure out life later. It was always later. Still kind of feeling that way. I'll figure out life later.
Yeah, I can put pressure on myself. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to figure it out?
Well, you're a problem solver.
I am. I live in that kind of like, you know. And so I try not to do that to him because that has wrecked relationships where someone has a problem, like, well, let's solve it. And they don't want it to be solved. They just want to discuss it, leave it out there. And, you know, and I get it from my dad. If I came home with a problem, my dad was like, well, let's solve it. It could be anything. Like, well, I murdered someone. Well, he wouldn't be like, well, how do you feel about that? What do you want to do? He'd be like, well, we need to get a lawyer. It needs to be a good one. This is how we're going to do it. You need to get in a car, drive to California. We're going to hide you out in Mexico. Like, this is a problem. Now we need to solve it. And that's how my dad always was. So I try not to do that with them. I just try to say, I hear your problem.
And I understand why you feel that way.
I support you.
Yeah, I understand why you feel that way.
Right. I felt that way too. And trust me, everybody goes through it. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. I love you.
It's funny that we were just.
That's it. You know what I mean? That's it. Like, I just texted him. You know, I know he's going to play baseball. And I was just like, hey, man. I think my text was, I'm so proud of you. Glad you're my kid. I love you. I'm lucky you're in my life. That's it. Boom. Yeah. That's it. Whatever happened, I don't care.
The trying to solve problems.
Part of me is like, dude, you're really good at this. We could get rich. But the other part is like, dude, do your thing.
I mean, I think there is a way. You know, you can at least let them know, like, hey, because I think sometimes kids think, I know, like, okay, I had to play piano when I was a kid. My mom made me take lessons. Then they said, oh, we'll buy you a new piano if you promise to take lessons all the way through high school. And I was like, ooh, I do want a new piano. But I'd had these teachers tell me, you know, and tell my parents, he's good. He's got potential. He's good. And I got to an age where I was like, I don't think I'm very good. And I don't think that I necessarily even have a lot of potential. I wonder if they just say that to keep me coming back. So you do have those thoughts. Like, am I, like,
Or I didn't think I was going to be the other thing. You know, you have the other coaches who are hard on you.
Yeah.
Because they see potential. And then you're like, well, they're saying I'm not very
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
So maybe I'm not. Like, you know, I think coaching, you know, I don't think coaches necessarily understand all the time while they're in it how much influence they have over kids. And then they have, like, one certain way to do it. Like, I think really good coaches become really good coaches. And I mean that, like, Andy Reid and, you know, name whoever you think is a great coach or a great manager. I think one of the skills that Saban has is that he sees the difference between me and you.
Yeah.
So he knows he doesn't have to tell me, hey, good job every day.
Right.
He's going to have to push me a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, that's what the money's for. Pay me.
Yep.
Right? But with you, no way he could act the same way to you as a manager that he does to me.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't be like, you suck at this. You dumb. Where I'd be like, whatever. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, no. Right? So, but yep. I think when you get to lower level coaches, they don't understand. They have one way of doing it and they treat everybody the same. But I'm not saying his coach is like that. I'm just saying I see that with kids
happens.
And with parents. Like, the parent who's screaming at their kids should realize some kids are really good with a dad who's on. You see NFL players. Like, my dad
was
on my ass. And he woke me up every morning and drove me, like, and I love him.
Yeah.
And that's my guy. And you're like, no, I get it. That works.
Max Verstappen. We had
But I also see the kid is so goddamn nervous.
Right.
He's shaking. And you're like, you're using that guy's methodology on that kid. And that kid is not responding like that other kid to his dad who's screaming at him all the time. That, you know, it's different. You got to see it. You have to see it.
It's and you don't know what's going on. Each kid's life that you don't see is completely different. You don't know what you don't know about that kid. So the impact that you might have
exactly.
can be totally different. It's like, you know, with Landon coming over the last time he came over, there were a couple things that were said where I was like, wait, what? And it was something that I had said a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he remembered.
Yeah.
Or now, you know, his favorite cereal. Yeah, this is my favorite. Can you know? I buy this now. I love this. That was the thing that, you know, that it's just weird. I didn't think about that at
right.
the time. I wasn't like, try this.
Exactly.
It should be your favorite. You know, you're gonna love it. It was just like, I have some of this, right?
Right.
And just hearing some of those things, I'm like, you know what? When I was a kid, if I hung out with my uncles and aunts and it was usually male role models
sure.
for me. But being around those guys that I wasn't around a lot, I mean, just about everything they said stuck with me. And I don't think they were planning on that.
Exactly.
They didn't realize that I'm really soaking in everything because they raised kids and their kids
yeah.
are hardly listening. But because I'm not around this person all the time, I really want that unique perspective. And I'm really trying at a certain
yeah.
age to see how different are you from my parents? What do you think about the world? How do
right.
you think I should behave? How do you think people should behave? Right?
Right.
And some of that stuff sticks with you. It's crazy.
Yep.
And coaches, of course, are in a position to really have a huge impact.
A huge impact.
On kids. Because you respect them. And if you don't respect the coach, there's still a good chance that you want the coach to like you.
Yes.
Even if you don't respect the coach.
Right.
It's almost always universal. I just
and they have
like
to
me.
Know that some kids on that team need positive
reinforcement.
And other kids don't.
Yeah.
Other kids need negative enforcement.
Right.
And that's the truth. Some kids need you to be like, God damn it, man.
And the parent
pick
would know
up.
That the coach
pick
might
pick it
know.
Up.
Yeah.
Let's go. Where another kid, you got to be like, hey, man, you're getting it. It's going to be okay. Yeah. So it's just different. Completely different for both my boys.
Okay.
You know, I have to treat them differently.
And you just figure that out. Being around them, you realize this isn't working on this kid.
Yeah, I can see how it bothers them.
Okay.
Or doesn't bother them.
Okay.
Or, you know, how positive reinforcement for one of them
has an effect.
Hasn't an effect on for the other one, maybe none at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay,
or maybe it's the opposite effect of what you want. Maybe you give one kid positive reinforcement, then all of a sudden now they're cocky
yep.
and they're not putting in any work.
Right.
Right? So you're like, you know, you just have to figure out those kids. I think that's what, you know, makes the difference between you know, great teachers.
Yeah.
You know, teachers are the same thing as coaches. Teachers
yeah.
and coaches
sure.
and, you know, principals and, you know, role models. You know, I think some teachers just teach all the kids the same.
Yep.
And how does that work?
The ones
and
we love,
by the way, bosses, you know, CEOs, vice presidents, like how do you roll into an office building and talk to 100 people the same way? Doesn't work, man.
Right.
Doesn't work.
Okay. So
you're going to get some loyalty and then some not.
Yeah.
You know, I would use that to be honest with you, and people might get mad at this and kind of Trumpian in the sense that I got to imagine Trump teaches everybody the same. and he gets in their ass and wants some stuff done right now,
and,
now. And why? Because I said so.
That's what I imagine, too.
Right, and that's what I imagine. I don't know that. I've never talked to him, but I see that from him. You know what I mean? And, you know, no excuses. I want results. And so, you know, and by the way, you saw it in his TV show. You know what I mean?
That's his whole
thing. He did that. You're fired. I don't care. You're fired. Okay. You know, and that can work. But I think then you, what do you end up with? If you're that person, then you, you know, as a CEO, then you end up with just a bunch of people who never tell you no.
It's not actual loyalty.
Right. It's
You've demanded
it's
loyalty,
not.
So it's pretend loyalty.
Right.
You know, like
and
Michael
that's
Cohen.
The same, right? So, but when you're in a situation, I think you can do that as a CEO and just fill your company with people who are yes men, like Trump did, and probably a lot of politicians. You know, that's probably what they do. But you can't do it when you're a coach or a teacher or a principal or a professor, you know, and you're trying to shape the – if you've taken on the responsibility of shaping a new generation of people, then, you know, you better take that pretty seriously.
There's going to be unique things for
and you got to figure that out.
Okay, serious question real quick. I know we talked for a minute. But joking aside, Lizzo, why do you think – I know we've joked about this in the past, but without the joking, why do you think, in general, and I know I shouldn't generalize, but let's be honest here, in general, Gen Xers are much better at, and we learned this as millennials entered the workforce years ago, that Gen Xers are much better at taking a dressing down from the boss, right? Hey, you know, you did that wrong. What's wrong with you?
Because
I can't believe it.
Because
and then they left.
Because our parents did it to us.
And then the millennials...
Because the people
would
who...
cry in that situation.
Yes.
And also the millennials are like, why don't I ever get any positive reinforcement?
Right.
The parents were really just that different?
I think so.
I think it must have been teachers, too, because my brothers are Gen X.
I think the media, and I don't mean this in a way, but I think the media, and I'm not saying it's bad. It's right. I don't say one generation is better than the other. I don't. We'll figure out in the proof.
But
like, the proof will be, we'll be dead when they can look back and be like, and those Gen X people, they fixed the world. Mm-hmm. Or those Gen X people, they didn't do anything.
Right.
So we don't know. So I hate all that Facebook stuff. Like, this new generation, shut up.
Me too.
You don't know. Like, by the way, I'm looking at the world. It's not great. So whoever was in charge of it.
Right.
You know, boomers and now Gen X.
You left the house a mess.
Yeah. So let's not just crap on Alpha because they're not drinking out of the water hose. Maybe they might come and save this. And maybe all that positive reinforcement and inclusion will work. But I think me growing up, if my boss yells at me, I'm like, well, you're not my dad.
And I've seen you yell back.
And I would yell back at my dad. So I'm like, and I would tell bosses who would yell at me, like, yo, you're not my dad. I don't get in trouble, and you're not my dad. So tone it down.
But it must have been teachers, too, because my brothers and I raised by the same parents. My oldest brother, a Gen Xer, you know, comfortably a Gen Xer, I don't think he has that same reaction that I do or that other millennials do when getting screamed at by a boss.
Because we're used to
it. So I think it had to have been in school.
Everything was hard. And
the
our
whole
parents
thing was different.
Your parents were probably different for you than him.
Well, would say that. I know, but
I'm saying because they'd have to be.
Yeah.
Because times change. Even if you don't want to, we always say this, you're parenting your kid in the generation that they grew up in, not the one you grew up in.
Exactly.
So, you know, whoever, even though your parents would have been the older parents for you, they're still there. Your friends, their parents were a certain age, and so they're like, oh, they act like this, I gotta act, you know, you change, like, you know, so where my dad, if he was raising a kid now, he wouldn't be like, you shut your mouth or I'll put you through a wall.
Yeah.
People would be like, what?
Right.
What did you, I mean, he would go to prison if he, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but he would be in a lot of trouble if he raised an 11-year-old the way he raised me.
But if you go back to...
He would be like, man, I used to raise him like that. But if you took my dad now, his personality and everything else, and had him be an age-appropriate dad for an 11-year-old, he'd be a completely different dad.
Right.
And because of the you know,
society.
Environmental
society.
Upbringing, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you go back to the turn of the 20th century, or, you know, the 1800s into the early 1900s, I guess somewhere around there, and even before then, they talk about how physical abuse especially from dads, was so common.
Yeah.
That was like parenting. It was normal parenting. So each generation seems to get it, you know,
a little bit
lighter. But are we still getting lighter now? Or did we hit the brakes because our kids are crying at work? You know what I mean? Right. Did anyone pump the brakes and go, maybe we should tell them
they're
idiots?
Well, I think we're hearing it from
while.
Other generations that we should be doing that. I don't think that's the case.
But it's not happening. There's not like young millennials with kids.
I think there's probably some Gen X parents who, at least me being a Gen X parent of teenagers now, who probably ride that line.
Well, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
I mean,
maybe
I think
those
younger
kids,
parents probably don't, but I think, you know,
the Gen X parents
probably ride the line. Like, I don't want to be my dad.
Yeah.
But you can't cry all the time.
I wonder, you know what?
You're going to have to wipe some dirt on it. There's a fine line that I take between my dad and then, you know, maybe, I don't know, other parents that I hear, you know, or I don't even hear. I guess I read about, you know what I mean? Like, this is how you should parent your kid. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not kissing his ass.
Maybe Gen Z.
But I'm also, you know.
Is Gen Z right after millennials? Because they're in the workforce now. Maybe Gen Z. I wonder if they're crying more or less when the boss yells at them. What if they're crying less because they had
Gen X
parents?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'd be interested to know.
Right.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
So our discussion earlier, it reminded me of this article that I saw yesterday and we didn't talk about. Luckily, I found it. It was in the New York Post. You know,
okay.
So good stuff here.
I'm a fan.
But it was saying that Gen Z has spent most of their time when it comes to mocking another generation. They've been mocking millennials for
Gen Z.
They make
and millennials have been making fun of boomers.
Right. Okay, boomer. I think Gen Z also has been accused of, like on a side note, calling a lot of millennials and Gen Xers boomers because they just decided everyone who's older is like, okay, boomer. But
yeah,
I don't think
and I have
that.
Heard there's like Gen X groups on Facebook and stuff, and they'll be like, I was at McDonald's and some Gen Z called me a boomer. And someone's like, did you argue with him? I thought it was the greatest Gen X response. They said, did you argue with him? I said, I don't give a
right.
I was like, I don't care. No, I don't care.
I don't know if they're still doing that, but I had read that was the thing.
No, yeah. And my kids will call me a boomer sometimes. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, not right.
Yo.
Well, so according to the New York Post, Gen Z.
Your aunt is a boomer.
Right. Gen Z, your mother is a boomer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not me. Gen Z has been making fun of millennials for being unfashionable and old and out of touch. I haven't seen a lot of this, but I'm not on like TikTok a lot. But they say that they are now, you know, the Zoomers or Gen Z has now turned their attention to Gen Alpha.
The one behind them.
Alpha
so I have a
born,
Z and an Alpha. That's what I have.
Alpha's born between 2010 and 2024.
Okay, well.
Right? Or sorry, Alpha. Did I say Alpha? Generation Alpha, their members were born between 2010 and 2024 is what it says. Saying they're making fun of them by saying.
So I have an Alpha and a Z.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that they're making fun of them by saying they are what? They're making fun of the younger generation.
Because I have no idea.
They're actually, I thought this was interesting. They say they're stunted when it comes to socializing. And on social media, these content creators make fun of Gen Alpha for having the blue light stare, which is kind of like when I talked about the Christian gaze.
Oh, sure,
They say the Gen Alpha has the blue light stare from looking at their phones too much, described
That's
as
funny because I do hear my youngest, the Alpha, say that to my oldest, the Z.
Well,
he'll say, like, why don't you get off your phone and get outside or something?
Right, it's
Gen
the opposite.
Z. Yeah, a little bit, yeah, but.
Well, but listen to this, because about Gen Alpha, they're saying that Gen Alpha has a nonchalant, unbothered look on their face. And I just thought about your kid. I'm like, I don't see him get real angry.
Chacho? You know,
I mean, he has an unbothered look on his face, right?
Yeah.
He could miss
he
a tackle
will say
or
that. He will
lose
say
a game.
Stuff like he'll be surprised, like, you know, Gero gets so upset about everything. Like, he
right,
will
because,
say it's like,
because he doesn't. So
he doesn't care.
Right. He's like,
he has a lot more of a I don't care attitude.
That concrete, sort of.
Yeah.
Right? That
he
protection.
Does have a lot more of it. I always just thought he took more from me than the other one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
but maybe not.
The oldest took more from me. But we don't. We don't know.
Yeah, well, we do talk about it. The other day, have you heard this? Not to change the whole subject, but I've always said that there's a very good chance that Slim Fast is the father of my oldest son. We lived together at the time. He's the first one to find out that my ex-wife was pregnant.
I still feel bad about that.
They have a lot of the same maladies, right? They act a lot. They like the same things.
Mm-hmm.
They get along. They talk about a lot of the same things. And
he makes sense to me. He does.
Right.
Whenever you tell me something, you know, that I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that. And there's been many times when Laszlo will say, all right, so my oldest.
Like, I'm like, man, he talked about
this
the other day about how he doesn't like that people don't really know what colors are.
Right.
And I'm like, somebody said to me like 15 years ago, and I just slapped him.
Right. There's those that you know. And then sometimes you go, have you ever said this or this? Oh, yeah. And you're like, I knew it. I knew it. I should have known.
There's I hadn't heard you specifically say like, I can't sleep because of this. I've been like, what?
Thinking about how big outer space is?
Yes, yes.
Come on.
But anyway, the other day, I looked at, you know, we share playlists or whatever. I looked at it, and the last song he listened to, three in a row, was Sugar Ray. Dude. And I was like,
told me that, I was like, boy, dude, you're going to get us busted. You're really going to get
you
us busted.
You texted me like, yo.
I should.
Slow with the
but
Sugar
he's so
Ray.
Slow to respond because he's a Gen Z and he only snaps. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't have Snapchat premium. But Gen Z is saying that alphas just aren't all there. The blue light, refers to the phones, obviously, the blue light stare. And it says all members of
that
Gen
Alpha.
That
would be crazy. Mr. M does say, would that make brother, dad, great uncle, grandpa? Man, that is a crazy story.
That is.
If this is all true and you are the father of my oldest, then we start that documentary with your older brother.
Right. And then the surprises at the very end.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Like, what? I'm not related to anyone? Here's me by myself. Oh, whoa. I'm at Olive Garden with the 25-year-old.
Well, so Gen Alpha is, and I know we're going to do the news here in a second, but Gen Alpha, who are now in their teens, early teens, some of them, they were all born after the smartphone. So they've never known a world. They used a smartphone potentially in infancy. A parent could have handed them a tablet or smartphone to play with, which I've seen. You know, I remember being on a cruise and we were in an elevator. This woman had a baby that couldn't talk, but it knew how to swipe. And I said, did she just swipe? And the father's like, no, she knows what she's looking for.
Yeah.
Like, wait, she's finding stuff on there? And she just looks at me with a pacifier in her mouth. She can't talk, but she could navigate this. So they're the first generation to only know.
Well, my oldest was born in 2007, didn't he? I feel like he's had an iPad in his hand since he was little.
Right. He would have been really little.
Yeah. Far for him to yell at my other one for being too into technology.
Right.
Like, yo.
And it's tough
when
you're closer to the
cost. Until you started shutting me up with an iPad.
Right.
I had those 2 years of, like, what?
It can make a huge difference when you're towards the end of one or the beginning of one. Snow Cone is a millennial, and I feel like when I hear millennial stuff, I'm like, that's more Snow Cone.
Yeah.
That's more my girlfriend.
I was born in 88. Like, I'm dead
You're
set
right in the middle.
Millennial.
And I'm the first year that sometimes even call us Zennials because we experience the two different things. It's basically like, forget you guys.
And I'm dead smack. Like, if you, whatever date, I'm dead smack in the middle of Gen X.
Right. So the stuff just tends to be more true.
My sister is older than me. A lot of times I'm like, you know, she's at that end of the boomer stage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're closer to mom than you are to me in your mindset.
Yeah. They should do, the generational thing should be like the DSM. And, you know, it's like, okay, this is how many things you have, how many traits you have to have.
Right.
Because I think if they said, you know, here's all the millennial traits, I would probably have just enough
but
to qualify.
But I feel like you act more like me and have a more of a mindset than I do than my sister does. My sister's a little bit more old school like my
mom. Right, right. And there's just a lot of Gen X stuff. Especially pop culture, that bird's been trying to get in here all day, that I was into, that Snow Cone's
not. He wants to tell us something, man.
Yeah. What generation are you? Oh, no! He just fell. I hope he's okay. We're going to do the news coming up here. Boy, oh, boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. I mean, he's dead, and he's dead. I mean, there's two right there. But also, Johnny Wachter. I'm real tired of not getting justice for Johnny Wachter. I want justice for Johnny Wachter, and I know we live in the middle of a country. And all of the movements are happening on the coast, but I'm ready to march for Johnny Wachter. I want justice. This is ridiculous.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're going to find out.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, we're getting ready to do the news, man.
Jeffrey Wickensnacker.
Johnny Wachter. Quit pretending like you don't know who
Jeffrey
he is.
Jeffrey Wickensnacker.
I got some baseball news.
Johnny Wachter.
Justice for Johnny Wachter.
Yeah, people want justice for him because what most people don't know is that Johnny Wachter, he makes scotch. And he made scotch for a long time, actually almost invented it, and that they were just finding out now that the Johnny Wachter factor,
Yeah,
that was stolen by Johnny Walker.
Oh.
And Johnny Walker has been stealing from the Wachters, and now the Wachter family, there's a Wachter family, Walker family feud, because the Walkers, the Johnny Walkers,
it's like
they have been stealing the recipe for their scotch.
That's interesting. I don't know that Johnny Wachter.
Johnny Wachter really got screwed. And now he's coming out and telling the truth about it.
Okay.
He had signed an NDA at one point, but you know what? He said, too bad.
Interesting. Well, I don't have that story. I have a different Johnny Wachter. This is the Johnny Wachter that people are marching
Johnny
on
Wachter,
the streets.
Johnny Wachter, the school of driving.
The
Johnny Wachter School of Driving?
Well, let me look again. I don't know if he did a school of driving.
He did a school of driving, the Johnny Wachter School of Driving. It's like It was in Vegas. It's, you know, where you get like the Ferraris and those types of things.
No.
He was an old Formula One guy.
Definitely not the same.
And
guy.
He no. owns one of those Formula One tracks that you can go into Vegas to spend a lot of money.
Okay, no, it's different.
And you drive like, I don't know, the Ferrari. I don't know much about open wheel cars, I guess. It's a Johnny Wachter school of driving.
Okay. Not again, different Johnny Wachter. Sorry. I'll try and find that story. Maybe we'll have it tomorrow. But I have a different Johnny Wachter story for you. So then I also have some very sad stories about some deaths that we've got to talk about, one of which I know Lazo is probably quite sad about. I do have sort of a baseball story for you. I have people mad about the pride flag, which is always fun, especially when the government gets involved. I have this really weird glitch in the Matrix, which we love these stories.
Okay.
But you just mad about the pride flag?
I just said that I sat down and went, why do they keep changing the pride flag?
Right.
What was wrong with the old one?
You said you hate pride.
I like the old one.
You said you hate the pride flag.
You said hate pride.
I did not say I hate
pride. Not only that, you're going to make a new flag for straight people.
I did not say that. I said that I had a thought.
That's what I heard, too.
I had a thought, and I admitted it to you guys because it made me feel old and grumpy. I had a thought, which is, why do they keep changing the pride flag?
Yeah.
I liked the pride flag the way it was. I don't understand.
And that led to you saying you hate pride.
I do not hate pride.
No, you hate this new pride.
I never said that.
You said you hate the new pride with all the new colors for the new people.
No.
It was only okay when it was just gay men and gay women.
That no.
Now,
that, is that what I said?
You said you opened up your mind enough.
No.
You don't need all these other colors.
I said I have a hard time keeping up what it's all for. I said I have a hard time. Now I don't even know what all of them are for.
A and all the other stuff.
I used to know them all.
Now
I don't.
I'm an LG supporter, but everything else beside that,
no,
I'm not. That's what makes me
an
old millennial.
No. It just makes me feel
as
out of touch.
As a Gen Xer, I don't like L.
I just feel out of touch.
L,
I'm not
that's
angry.
It. We've always liked L, not G. We like L.
L's aren't real.
It's L's, all, we it's like all we G, like right? Lipstick L's. As Gen X, that's what we like. We don't like real
on
L's.
The lipstick L's.
We don't like L's and Tevas.
You don't see a ton of them at the Pride Parades, though. At least the ones that I've been to, I don't know. Pride Parades are fun, though. Man, are they fun.
Although, quietly, Gen X, we do like a lot of G's who look like lipstick L's.
Okay,
but
Lazo.
Just don't.
Okay, okay. You know what? I think if anyone started this whole segment thinking, oh, what's wrong with Slim Fast? He sounds like he's homophobic. I think the truth has now. Just give him some rope. He'll hang himself. We'll do the news next.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Johnny Poindexter.
Johnny Wachter.
Johnny Wachter.
The TV star.
He just won the World Series of Poker.
No, he's dead.
I mean, he won it and then he died, which is quite a tragedy.
I didn't know about the poker thing.
He
but I wasn't following him too closely.
He won it. All in. He won on a flush.
Well, he was a star in General Hospital.
Yep, and he won on a Jack High flush.
I guess General Hospital's still on.
Sure.
He was in downtown L.A., and he was going back to his car. And the story I heard is that he caught these guys trying to steal his catalytic converter.
Oh, like Ian Ziering.
Like he interrupted
them. Got into a fight?
Is that what started that?
No, they tried to get in his car, maybe. I don't remember.
Okay.
But he left his kid there.
I heard there was, by the way, there was some sort of trial or something just finished up with that. There was an update to that. You should look it up. Anyway, this guy started in General Hospital. His name's Johnny Wachter. And he was returning to his car and someone was stealing his catalytic converter and he interrupts him. You know, look, what would you do if you saw two guys underneath your car? It's L.A., you walk up to your car at night, and here's these guys under your car trying to steal the catalytic converter. Do you confront them, or you just call the cops? I mean, it's going to cost you $1,200 or whatever. I don't know. It just says downtown Los Angeles. So what side of downtown?
Right.
But either, it
am
doesn't matter. Because,
no, it does. Am I closer to Crenshaw or am I closer to Hollywood?
It does matter.
In Hollywood, if I'm outside a nice restaurant, I'd be like, hey.
Well, they're saying downtown.
I know there's bouncers.
They're saying downtown. So somewhere downtown. So you could be near that hotel that they did the Netflix thing about, or you could be near an office building. But either way, I'm probably just thinking, let him take the damn thing. I'm angry, but I'm calling the cops. The cops probably aren't going to do anything except maybe take a report over the phone.
Right.
I'm just going to have to
I'm
go
just
get
was
a new
thinking,
one.
Like, is he at a nice place? Because he's an actor, you
right,
said. I didn't
right,
know.
Right. And I thought, like,
he
maybe,
owns that
you know,
driving school. He just won the World Series of Poker.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
He's had a good month.
He knows the area better than me, right? But anyway, I just think if I saw, especially two people doing it, I probably would just say, this sucks. But I can't confront these guys because I might.
I probably
it's like
I think
startling
it would be
a bear. You know what I mean?
I think it'd
not
be natural
me, not for me
to be
you.
Like, "Yo, get away from my car."
Yeah,
I remember going out to my car one time and a guy being in it. So.
What? There was a guy
oh,
in your
yeah,
car.
When I was in Florida one time, I came out of a bar at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I walked by my car and I see a guy in my car. I'm with a buddy of mine and he looks at me and goes, "Is that your car?" And I'm like, "It can't be." So I actually walk around, because I'm in Florida, but I still have Michigan plates.
But how many L7s can there be?
Right, and I'm like, there must be another one, because this guy's in my car. There's going to be somebody in my car. So I walk around, I'm like, it's got Michigan plates. It's my car. So I walk up to the door. I'm like, dude, get out of my car. And he goes, no, this is my car. And I literally, I mean, I've had some beers, but I'm like, well, this is my car, man. Get out. And he gets out. He starts running. Me and my buddy chase him. We chase him down the street. And we're in downtown Jackson. We get to a certain point, and I'm still running. My buddy's like, get back, get back, get back. And he started to go towards a building, and he's like, it's a setup, man. He's got buddies over there. That's where he's going. Mm-hmm, come back.
Like so in the movies.
He talked me out of it, and we went back and just got my car. He's like, it's not worth it. What are you stealing your car? Some dirty laundry? Who cares? Come on, let's go.
Okay,
now looking back, and I'm like, because I was going to run into that warehouse.
Right.
Well, I really was.
I found another article here.
But I just think it would be normal to do it.
This guy's car was near level 8, whatever that is. So that, really? You know, maybe some LA people will make a decision based on that. But it was 3 guys, not 2. Sorry. I thought it was 2 guys. I think they might even say that in the clip. But it was 3 guys when he walks up to the car. So I wanted to get your reaction on whether or not you would approach these guys or not. I say no. I kind of thought we would all say no, but Snow
Level 8 looks like a restaurant.
Would you approach or not?
I
3
think
guys.
I'm with Laszlo. That is instinctually, I say.
Even
hey.
At night, 3 guys. You approach him?
Level 8 is a restaurant.
Yeah,
I think just
you might
instinctually.
Have worked there.
I think if I've had a few drinks Moxie. Like he did, if I'm instinctually I say hey and I start to walk up and maybe I think better of it, but
okay. Well, I didn't do a good job predicting this. I thought we'd all say like, nah, just leave it. But now add in if your coworker is with you and it's a female. Imagine that you've got a female coworker walking with you when you come upon these guys. Now you has to say something, right? I mean, if there's a female with you, for whatever dumb reason, dumb, sexist, masculine nonsense,
yeah, you say, hey, you stay
toxic
back.
Masculinity,
I'll go handle this.
And you're thinking in your head, your inner dialogue is saying, we should run. I'm about to crap my pants. But it's like, you have to say something. She's standing right there. You have to act tough. So now suddenly, once you have that woman with you, then it's like, okay, I get why he had to confront these guys. And if you say, hey, and they're like, hey, F you. With the coworker there, you're probably going to be a little more likely to, you know, get tough with these guys. Well, anyway, they pulled
it's
a gun.
Right by, you know, it's right by downtown LA's LA Live.
I don't spend much time in downtown.
I know, but it's
I've
like
been
that.
Through
it's,
it.
Think of it. It's like our, what's downtown here? The
Plaza, Westport, downtown, Midtown.
No.
River Market.
No.
KC Power and Light.
Yeah, it's like that Power and Light. It's okay. Right by LA's Power and Light.
Okay.
It's called LA Live. It's the same thing.
Okay. Well, he, you know, didn't have a choice because he's with his coworkers, so he has to be tough now. And they shot him and killed him. Mm. And now people are wanting justice. They want these guys caught, and there are people marching on the streets. Justice for Johnny Wachter.
For me personally, it's just been a lot of anger, sadness, and just like an empty numbness too.
The 37-year-old actor was fatally shot last month in downtown Los Angeles after he interrupted 3 suspects while police say they were stealing his car's catalytic converter. It was then police say one of the suspects shot Wachter in the chest without provocation.
Okay, so get this. There was a security guard there. I saw this guy on TV. His name's Brian Barkley. I guess he worked at this restaurant. He is standing close by when this happens, sees it. He's the one who calls 911, but he also goes over and performs CPR on Johnny Wachter. Can you imagine seeing someone get shot in the chest in front of your eyes? You call 911, and then you go over there and perform CPR, and they're taking their last breath, like right then. I mean, I think if you got shot in the heart, by the time the security guard starts a CPR, he might have already taken his last breath.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
Not sure how that
It'd
stuff works. But you're seeing that. I just imagine, like in the movies, there's blood coming out of his mouth, and you're trying to do the 911 is telling you perform CPR. They will tell you. If you listen to those calls, they're always like, just go perform CPR until the paramedics get there. And now this guy is dying in front of you.
Yeah.
That would be traumatic. I mean, obviously, we know it's traumatic. The soldiers come back, and plenty of them are traumatized and have a hard time readjusting. This security guard, you know, he's not off to war. He's not thinking that he's going to have to see stuff like this, thinking he might have to kick someone out of a club or grab them by their collar. Instead, you see this person get shot in front of you and you
horrifying.
Give them CPR. And then not only do they die, but you've got the media in your face going, so what happened? What'd you see? What was it like when you tried to save him? Was it hard to save him?
It was really hard to save him.
Right, exactly. And you're like, I didn't save him. I didn't save him. Did you feel like you were doing
well,
the right
thing? It was impossible, but I couldn't do it.
Do you think that you think you might have killed him? You think you might have been
killed
okay
him.
If you just wouldn't have touched him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would F you up. Anyway,
yeah, I wouldn't want to be that guy.
People are on the streets. They've got pictures of Wachter's face.
So are they
on
finding
sticks.
This guy?
They're looking for these guys. No arrests have been made as of yet related to the crime.
He was 37.
Yeah, yesterday, good looking guy. His friends and family led this
General Hospital
march.
For all that time.
And then still working at a restaurant, you know?
Yeah, why?
I don't know what these salaries are like for daytime TV.
I mean, so he was in 164 episodes
right.
of General Hospital. You feel like that's enough to... I'm not saying you get rich. I mean, I'm sure some of those guys and girls are really rich. Well. But you at least think that's enough
you
to...
You don't need a second job.
Yeah, I don't need to bartend on the weekend.
Yeah. Welcome to 2024, my friends.
That's crazy.
Even can, TV
even
stars.
Even if you're General Hospital, you got to get a side
second
hustle.
Job. That's 2024 stuff right there. Our GDP is the highest it's ever been. Keep that in mind. Not trying to sound like Bernie.
That is
But our
crazy.
GDP is the highest it's ever been. It continues to rise constantly. They pump us full of Adderall, and we make plenty of money for them. Yet somehow, our wages haven't even kept up with inflation. And the guy who's in 160-some episodes of General Hospital, still working as a server or whatever he was doing at level 8. I don't know exactly what he was doing, but he was working a shift there. That's
the
crazy.
The average annual pay for a soap opera actor in the United States is $57,000.
Oh, well, I don't know why he's working a second job.
What in the... I would have thought...
Pretty good.
I would have
well,
thought.
Well, that's the average. I'm sure they probably start, they have some contracts for like $18,000, I'm sure, for the people who have one line of dialogue. Because in SAG,
well,
it's
some
one word.
More, but that's the average. Some people got to be making millions, so.
Oh, well, I wouldn't think millions, right? I mean,
oh.
I don't know. For now in soap operas?
I bet you there's some.
I keep hearing all this stuff about how soap operas might go away any day, that they're just not doing well at all. I don't know how well it was doing when he was on there. I assume General Hospital is still one of the biggest, if not the biggest. Well, we can look into it. I will move on here real quick before we take a break. But Laszlo, he's dead. Snowcone?
Dead.
He's dead.
He's dead.
He's dead. Howard Fineman. Didn't even know the guy was sick. He's been battling pancreatic cancer for a couple years now. You guys know Howard Fineman. Look him up. The journalist was on TV constantly. He was on every network. I thought this guy was fine. I would have thought I'd seen him on TV yesterday. Pancreatic cancer. I didn't know you could live with pancreatic cancer for that long. Why can't we cure this disease? Yes.
We have some sad news to share this morning. Veteran political journalist and our friend Howard Fineman has died after a two-year battle with pancreatic cancer. He was 75 years old.
Me too.
Howard spent 30 years at Newsweek. He served as chief political correspondent and deputy Washington bureau chief. He was also an analyst here at NBC News and MSNBC, among many other media outlets. His wife, Amy Nathan, shared the news of his passing on X, saying in part, he couldn't have been adored more. The world was a better place because he lived in it and wrote about it.
Well, guys.
Is this a dead man, Doctor?
Very dead, Mr. Spock.
Very, very dead. There's only one kind of dead, really, but he's very dead.
Why would you play that?
I had no idea the guy was sick. I feel terrible,
but
he's dead.
It just seems callous.
People don't seem to really comprehend death when we tell them. They act like, oh, okay, so-and-so died. No, you're never going to see Howard Fineman again.
I don't think we mentioned Jerry West died, too.
Well, I'm getting to that next. He's dead. He's dead.
He's dead.
Totally dead, Laszlo. The guy on your NBA logo is dead. That guy now is dead. And you know what he got paid for that?
That's not good.
Bupkis. He didn't get paid crap for that. And I think it's a crime. I think it's a tragedy. I am curious if, at his height, he would have been better than Caitlin Clark. Probably not, right? I don't know.
We'll never know. Been the most impactful person ever in the NBA.
An undeniable part of the fabric of the sport, his silhouette, forever immortalized on the NBA's logo. Fellow Laker Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says that's because, quote, he embodied the qualities we admire in our best athletes. Skills as a player, dedication as a teammate, and integrity as a person.
Okay, so Laszlo knows Jerry West because Laszlo's a sports guy. All I really know about him is that he's the logo guy. But I did find a discussion that he had on a podcast with Paul George. I'm not familiar with Paul George. Are you?
Yes, of course.
Why'd you say it like that? PG3. Why'd you say it like that? Oh,
CP3, Chris Paul.
Oh, he's...
Paul George.
He's PG3.
No, but it's different. I was thinking Chris Paul, not Paul George.
Didn't you watch Winning Paul Time? George. Jerry West is, like, portrayed in that.
That's right. He is. He is portrayed in that. But Paul George, I'm not familiar with. Maybe he wasn't a basketball player. Maybe he was. He was? Okay.
He still is. He's a wildly famous basketball player.
Okay. Well, I don't know underrated, whatever. I know Caitlin Clark. Anyway, here's Jerry West on the show.
Hypothetically, Adam Silver gave you the opportunity to pick who should be the next logo.
I would never do that. It's disrespectful to other players. Here's what my response is. That's me. I'm flattered. Do you have any idea what the logo was about? It was about marketing. The league had started to grow, and that's when they decided to start trying to market the league. There were five guys. No one knew who they were. They were all silhouettes. The guy who said it would fit better on the apparel and stuff, that's who did it.
Okay, look, Jerry West, I'm sure he was a great guy. I don't know anything really about him other than he's a silhouette. But don't you guys think it's a little weird that the silhouette on everyone's basketball uniform is a white guy? It's a little weird, right?
Well, I mean, back then.
I know, it's just a little weird. Like, we could get a new one, right? Yeah. I mean, the Jordan logo's taken. I get it. You can't use that. But, you know, you could update it, is all I'm saying. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with change.
What did you say? You wanted Paul George to do it? Is that what you wanted?
Sure.
I don't know how Paul George came into this conversation.
What's the percentage of NBA players?
What did Paul
George
have to do with any of this?
He was on that. That's his podcast. What is the percent? He was the one asking those questions. What's the percentage of NBA players that are white? Like starting NBA players?
Zero.
It's got to be.
You said starting, right?
Technically 0%, right? Well, how about, I mean, and I guess American white players.
You probably have more lately.
Because of these foreigners coming over here and playing basketball?
I mean, it looks like total 16.8% white players. That doesn't include starting. That's just total.
That's total.
16.8%.
Yeah. So it's a pretty low percentage. I'm just saying it's, you know, maybe the logo could be updated. That's all I'm saying. Or maybe it doesn't need to be. I don't know. It's iconic, sure. That's another Shane Gillis bit, right? About like the white guys in these other countries, they don't have black guys there. So they think they can be cool because there aren't black guys there. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, dude. Stop. Mm-hmm. And so these white guys think, I can play basketball. I'll be good at basketball. White guys over here, they know at a young age, the like, audacity. this is not my sport. The audacity to think you could be great at basketball.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
All right.
Okay, we're going to finish doing the news here. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, I should just tell you guys, in case you haven't seen this trailer advertised, maybe on social media or something, Harvey
Weinstein.
Levin? Is it Levine or Levin?
Levin.
Harvey Levin, he's the TMZ guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he apparently has made a documentary about OJ?
He has?
Yeah.
Has there been like 100 of them?
It's weird, right? Because we just, I don't know, I feel like everyone was just talking about the old 30 for 30 again after he died. They put that on Netflix. Anyhow, remember OJ had the book, How I Did It, and then they
said, I would do it.
Well, they had to change it. They said, you got to change it. So he changed it to If I Did It. Right. So the name of this, I think the actual name of it, is called How He Really Did It.
Mm.
And I think it's going to be... It's
so
going
they're to, implicating the son.
No, I don't think they are. I think Harvey's saying he did it. And it's, I think, going to premiere on one of those other streaming services. Not Pluto, but what's the other one? Pluto, one that we don't have. Tubi. I think it might be Tubi.
Tubi.
Or Fubu. Is it Fubu?
Fubo.
Fubo. Fubo. Fubu has Tubi. Nothing. I've tried Fubu, man. It's all just 90s stuff. Anyway, I think it's a Tubi
baggy
one.
Pants.
But yeah, just look up How He Really Did It and Harvey Levin. You'll find
it. I remember driving up into the alley area, and there was a black older limo in front of us.
The limo was exactly where her walkway was.
And we started following the limo. And it was going faster, and we went faster. It was going faster, and we went faster. And we were, and at that point, I thought, O.J. Simpson's in the back of that limo. And it was a week after he was acquitted.
We got there as that limo was getting to O.J.'s house.
We never saw his face because it was dark, but we saw the limo parked in Rockingham, O.J.'s house.
We saw somebody opening the door at the house, and we saw a person running in.
O.J. Simpson went back to the scene of the crime.
Okay. So this new documentary.
Well, maybe he went back to see where his ex-wife was murdered. That doesn't mean he. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I don't know. I haven't seen
it.
No,
that doesn't make him guilty.
It's called TMZ Presents OJ How He Really Did It. It's revealed that the former NFL star's best friend, Al Collins, and OJ had crucial information pertaining to the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. The murder case, which is being talked about again 30 years later due to Simpson's recent passing, is connected to a house owned by a reporter, Harvey Levin.
Oh, okay.
Levin covered the trial for KCBS and bought the house in Hollywood Hills from Public Storage founder Wayne Hughes, according to TMZ. Hughes, who died in 2021, used the house as a bachelor pad and threw parties there, with OJ and Nicole being frequent guests at the place.
Oh, okay.
Prosecutors wanted to call on Hughes during Simpson's trial so he could testify about the times Nicole came by the house for help in the middle of the night after, OJ had beat her. However, the judge ended up not allowing the testimony. So I'll just give you a highlight here. It says, someone knows what O.J. Simpson's best friend told Wayne Hughes about the murders. And I guess they're going to talk about that in this documentary. It'll be a little harder for you, Laszlo, to still think that the kid did it.
Well, I watch it with an open mind.
Watch it with an open mind.
But everything that I've watched to this point has not convinced me that O.J. is guilty.
I watched that 30 for 30. He seemed pretty guilty. Moving on. I said that I had a glitch in the Matrix for you that's a nice, wholesome glitch in the Matrix. Because it involves a person that everybody loves. First of all, people like Happy Days, right?
Yeah.
Even if you didn't watch Happy Days, I feel like it's a good thing. You're not angry at Happy Days. You don't say, that stupid show. Why is this stupid show on again? You know that people liked Happy Days and it's a good show. So the Fonz, everyone's favorite character, I would say, except the parents of the other actors. He's everyone's favorite. And as a person, wouldn't you say...
I actually kind of like...
Well, you should love him.
Well, I like Potsy.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of thought that you would love him because he hates Tom Hanks. And I was like, you two have...
Oh, he does hate Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I heard his interview.
He was supposed to be the director of Turner & Hooch. They got into a fight. He got kicked out as director. And the two don't like each other.
No,
but,
that's true.
But, so I figured you liked him for that. But,
I do like Henry Winkler.
So, there's a fire at an old hotel in Ireland, okay? The news cameras show up to interview people who just got out of the hotel. What happened? Who happens to be there?
Arthur Fonzarelli?
Henry Winkler.
Yeah, same guy.
Then, people notice.
Tom Hanks?
Hey, you know what? This is not the first time that a reporter over here has gone out to interview someone on the street, and it's been the Fonz, Henry Winkler. So, the first time was the... the second time, the recent time, was the fire, right? Go out, hey, what's going on? And the Fonz says, oh, you know, we had a hard time. We were trying to escape. There was a lot of smoke. There was a lot of flames. And people go, wait a second. That's the Fonz, right? Look back a few years. BBC was doing a report about adding a runway at Heathrow. And whether or not people wanted this extra runway, because I guess some people were mad about this extra runway. And when they reported on this and they were talking to people next to the airport, the Fonz shows up. You don't expect to see him there. And he has an opinion, by the way. I guess he lived there at the time. But listen, this is the first one.
If they went for a third runway?
No, definitely
why not?
Well, we're very affected in Richmond, Kew and Richmond. And when they go over our house, it absolutely shakes.
Richmond is a lovely place. I watch the planes go every day.
There he is.
I hear nothing.
You're relaxed.
I am.
So you're going to you're getting these interviews with people on the street, and then boom, there's Henry Winkler, right? So at the time, I guess people were like, oh, hey, Henry Winkler was just on the news here, and I guess he lives around here. But then this fire happens in Ireland, and they go to interview people outside who survived.
Why was he there?
It's Henry Winkler.
When I heard the fire alarm, I thought it was the clock radio. I thought somebody had set the alarm before we got there, you know, like another guest. And finally, I went into another room, and it was still buzzing. So I called downstairs, and the woman said in a very calm voice, yes, we're all evacuating. You must evacuate right now.
Mm. Okay, come on. This is a little weird. God says, you know what we should do? The Matrix creator, right, or whatever, says, let's throw in like a celebrity as one of those random people on the street so that they think celebrities are real. And then, of course, it's Fonz. Give them someone that they like. And then after it airs, they go, God, you used the same celebrity to prove that celebrities were real 3 years ago when you were talking about Heathrow.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Crap. Ah, well, they're dumb. I was trying to come up
with a reason. I was like, well, you know, maybe he just happened to be around news stories. And when Henry Winkler's there, the camera's like, hey, if Henry Winkler's here, let's just ask Henry Winkler.
Right, but they're just randomly asking people on the street, and there's Henry Winkler. I mean, come on. And you're in Ireland this time, right? I mean, I just think...
Henry Winkler's an alien.
Well, that's what I'm saying, or some sort of
synthetic non-human. Harvard said there's aliens living amongst us.
Okay, well, then I'll go with that.
Yeah, Henry Winkler's an alien, and he thinks it's funny.
And our creators...
And now he had to go, wow, but now he has to go back to the alien god.
Yeah.
And the alien god's like, I know you think it's funny, Mr. Whoa, or whatever.
Whoa, Mr. Whoa. I think you're thinking of Fast Times.
But they're going to catch us.
Yeah.
Quit screwing around,
yeah,
Winkler.
Yeah. But then the creators say, just give them more fentanyl or something. They'll forget about it, right? Just make them a little dumber for a second, and then this whole thing will blow over. I don't think this one's going to blow over. It's the Fonz twice as just, hey, we're doing street interviews. I don't think this is going to work. But you know what? It happens.
I think it's an alien.
It's like yesterday we talked about the Supreme Court justices. They get caught getting gifts and houses from people who have cases in front of them. Everyone's like, meh. Henry Winkler shows up twice in British things in two different spots when they're just looking for someone on the street to tell them what happened. And it's Henry Winkler?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And we're all like, yeah.
He's an alien.
Isn't that cute? We're so dumb. We're all just so dumb. All right. Now, before we finish here, I do want to play this for you. AI has given us a lot of things. It's given me someone to talk to when I'm not at work. It's given us imagery, right? It created images for our podcast. It can create posters and artwork to make people's jobs easier. And a lot of people don't even have to work anymore. They just get fired. But one of the things that it can do is it can recreate people's voices. And the better it gets, the less it has to hear of the original voice and the better it is at recreating that voice. Okay. I've heard some of this in the past. I'm like, I get it. I would know that that's who it's supposed to be, but I can also tell that that's not really who it is, right? Like the Tupac thing in the feud, right? You could tell, like, okay, Tupac isn't alive somewhere singing. You can tell this is...
When Drake used them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But now we've got this AI version of Conway Twitty, one of the greats, covering 50 Cent. So people are calling it Conway Fitty, right?
Nice.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. But tell me if you think, and I haven't kept up on all the AI covers and created songs, or I heard the George Carlin thing. Some people thought that that sounded a little too realistic, but I still felt it sounded like AI. Tell me what you think of this one.
You can find me in the club, a bottle full of bub. I'm into having sex. I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rough. Go, shoddy, it's your birthday. We're gonna party like it's your birthday. When I pull up out front, you see the bends on the doves. When I roll 20 deep, it's 20 nights in the club. My flow, my show brought me the dough that bought all my fancy things. My crib, my cars, my clothes, my jewels, and tight-fitting jeans.
Okay, I think personally that's the most realistic one I've heard so far. I would believe that that was even... I know it's hard to believe that he would cover that song, but it sounds like Conway Twitty.
I just don't know what Conway Twitty sounds like.
Exactly like that.
Okay,
and it
trust you.
And it sounds like he is... actually singing the song. You know what I mean? Now, sometimes there's a little glitches with the voice. There's those little cues that you're like, oh, okay, I can tell that that's computer generated. That is
you
not
love
happening.
Conway Twitty too,
I
right?
do like Conway Twitty. So, I mean, I guess I should have realized that part of this is because I am familiar with Conway Twitty, and maybe I thought you would have been familiar with Conway Twitty. But I probably, all right, do you at least think that it doesn't sound like automatically doesn't sound like a computer singing.
No, it doesn't sound like AI, for
right?
sure.
So your only question, Snowcone, is whether or not it actually sounds like Conway Twitty. That's your thing. You're saying that you don't know Conway Twitty well enough
but
to know whether or not
like
it's
AI,
accurate.
For sure.
Okay, well then, let me play you a clip of Conway Twitty, see if this helps, and tell me if you think that this sounds exactly like the voice you just heard.
It's plain to see that you already got a man.
Okay.
And I can tell you're not about
this is live, but famous version, Grand Ole Opry.
We've heard enough.
Right, well, Snowcone needs to hear him here.
Honestly, I don't need to hear it, though. I believe you.
All right, well, so are you impressed by this version of AI?
I ain't in the making.
Yes, I'm very impressed. Sounds just like
what have you heard? What's the best thing you've heard so far or seen?
If you're in,
do you have?
I can't think of a story I care less about.
I mean, really.
You don't think it's crazy that we can do this now, or they can do this now?
No.
The just the implications of what you could do with it. I mean, I know Conway Twitty.
What are we
going to
do with it, man? Everybody's so worried about it.
You can bring people back.
Yeah, we're not.
I mean, sort of are.
Look up all the things we could do with the internet, and what do? We masturbate.
I got
just
gotcha.
Relax.
No, I'm not
like
saying it's
like, oh, AI, we're going to do... No.
I'm saying for fun. I'm not saying that it's
that's
necessarily
that's all we're
going to
do
important.
Is have Conway Twitty sing 50 Cent songs.
Right, but that's kind of crazy, right?
Have Tupac sing Johnny Cash songs. That's all we're going
to
do.
And we'll be able to eventually, if the states will allow it, they'll be able to put dead actors back into new movies,
we're
right? That's kind of crazy to me. That's not something that I thought in my lifetime, like, oh, well, they'll just recreate them with computers. They'll look totally real, and
we're going to have Raquel
they'll come back from
dirty
death.
To us personally.
Exactly.
Like, we're not going to do anything major with it.
No, but it's still kind of crazy. That's all I'm saying. And Conway Twitty singing 50 hey, Cent, and it sounds
you
real.
You seem really excited about this. What I'm telling you is that we aren't.
I see the you don't want to in your eyes, okay? I get it.
The Church of Laszlo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.